He said, first time, we did not pass. Second time, we failed. He said, look, he doesn't want wahala for me. That is like, in Lagos, you understand that. I don't want trouble for my soul. He doesn't not do, you know. After all, what is this? Must a man do physics? Hey, do you know I was discouraged? This was my best friend. So I went to another guy. I said, oh boy, have you heard what this chap said? He said, what? He's dropping physics and admats. Now listen to what your eyes can what? See. He said, the guy has explained to me that we failed it first term, second term. Why should we continue struggling against what we can't do? The guy told me arrant nonsense. He said, have you noticed that our teacher has only one head? I said, yeah, that makes sense. I'm serious. That was what he told me. He said, that teacher, how many heads does he have? I said, one. He said, so? You know, I got the point immediately. So I went and told my friend, I said, you're on your own. You can drop it. I'm not dropping it. Third term, me and the other guy, we passed. From five, we passed. We went at WAEC, got an A. Do you get what I'm going to say? When we went in for admats, we were only six that did it, actually. Every other person had lost heart. But that day, even me, when I look back, I should have had an A in admats. It pained me that I didn't because it was just a matter of what your eyes could see. I mean, the class hall we did WAEC in was a large hall. The day of admats, six of us marched in. It was supposed to be a joke. Over half a. Anna, just sit down. Question one. I don't know, Joe. Question two. To my surprise, I had a credit. I mean, I was surprised. I figured I didn't do anything there. Then I looked back. I said, actually, I just added that one to my A's. What your eyes could what? See. That fellow, that's the ministry of Satan. That's the ministry of what? Satan. The guy, now get to my point, this guy is not a door chap. Not a door chap at all. He's one of those guys who became graduates at the age of 19. He's not a stupid man at all. He's my childhood friend. He had a first class, a second class upper and what he studied. Everywhere the guy is a top shiner. But he just made up his mind that I couldn't do it. And that was it. He never did it. That's what I'm talking about. What your eyes can what? See. In life, what Satan tries to do is to blind people. They say they can see. Meanwhile, they are actually blind. IMF is blind. If they tell you what you can do in life, you will never do anything. What bank does not see? Do you get my point? They don't what? They don't see. The things actually that you should really see are the spiritual things. That is those things that are not yet, materially speaking. So Paul explained like this. He said, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things that are seen were not made out of the things that existed before them. That's what he was saying. Do you follow my point? That is what a man becomes tomorrow. It's not a product of what we could see today. Are you getting what I'm saying? No, that's not what is deciding it. It's something that is invisible. That's why I always say like this. It sounds like a joke. I say it all the time, but I will not stop saying it. I say, as a young woman, marry a man because he's rich. You're a very stupid person. Because the Bible is saying that what he will be tomorrow is not determinable from the things that you can see now. Reject a man because he doesn't appear rich. You are very, very dull. Because the Bible says that what he will be tomorrow, you can't determine from what you can see now. You want to marry an influential man, listen to him talk. No matter how rich a man is, once he's a talker of poverty, excuse yourself. You know, there are people who talk very big because they've gotten a big job. No, I mean, they employ you in a bank, they employ you in Glow, they employ you in an oil company. You will be earning a lot. And you start shining for blind girls. You know what I mean by blind girls? Blind people, you start shining for them. They are blind, they can't see. All they can see is your fine car, your fast salary. But they can't, if they talk to you, they will know that you are such a fool that you will resign this job to go and sweep gutter in America. They will have known. But they don't talk. And just like, every time the guy sends you a recharge card every 2 days, 1-5, the guy is doing well. Talk to him. A country is bad. Nah, in fact, don't know, it's going to be very useless. In fact, nah. Listen to me. Your children will beg for food. Excuse yourself from that guy. Listen. Listen. A man, Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I told you, people respond to issues of life according to what they have seen. The prophet's servant was running up and down.
Oga, I knew I shouldn't have come to this city. Yeah, yesterday I had this feeling in my heart that when we're coming there, something was going to go wrong. You know, I was telling you that because you said I'm still a small prophet. I don't know what I'm saying. I know I'm dead. We are dead, all of us.
The master looked at it. What's wrong with your head?
Oga, you are here. Come out. The whole city is surrounded. And they've already announced on the walls that I'll bring out Elisha and we will spare you. Oga, what are we going to do? If the man was sleeping, he just turned in the bed and continued sleeping. He said, you don't care that we perish? When Peter and co were shouting and told Jesus, can't you see we are perishing? They were responding to what they could what? See. You want to know what somebody is seeing? Check how he's responding to life. I don't have to tell you about what I'm seeing. I don't have to. You heard me talk. Ask my wife, as God is my witness, ask her. I don't accidentally talk fear of tomorrow in my house. Not a mistake. No, I'm just thinking about it. I don't think my wife has ever heard me express doubt about what tomorrow will be like. I don't think she has ever heard it. Why? Because I don't talk it. You know why I don't talk it? I don't even think about it. The only times I speak about it is when people have tried, you know, people have tried to make you look stupid. I will open my voice to God and say, God, let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Triumph doesn't mean to defeat me. I'm not competing with them. What is saying that let them not rejoice and say, aha, aha, where is his God? But we told him, I said, God, it will never happen, not in this life. If you wanted to destroy the nation 100 years, you will suspend your destruction until I've been vindicated according to the words I have spoken. You want to know somebody will do it tomorrow? Check how he's talking now. You go and marry an oaf because he has money. Listen, the things in his heart will eventually manifest physically. If you see a man who appears poor today, listen, just listen to how he's talking. You will know whether he'll be rich tomorrow or not. Anybody who has plans for greatness, for affecting many lives, you don't need to worry. That guy can never be average. Don't check according to what he has now. The Bible makes it clear that the things that are seen were not made out of the things that were materially tangible before them. That's what he was saying. But they were made out of something. He said, by faith we understand that the words were framed by what? The word of God. I hope what I'm saying, I hope you are following me. I hope it's making sense to you. Look, I said we're talking about what? The law of faith. If you can fulfill this, it's not possible that you will fail trying to obey God. You can't. It's not possible. It's a law. Listen, I told you I'm talking today about what? The Spirit of Christ and the ability to see. I said something that not everything that people see really exists. And many of the things that exist, they don't see it. The ability to see properly is a gift of God. You know, before, I could argue with people. You want them to understand what you understand. You want them to see what you are seeing. Listen, what a dog can hear, a human being can't hear it, no matter how much you beg him. That's why they say dogs see spirits. Dogs don't see spirits. No, let me tell you what happens. They don't see spirits. You know what they see? What happens with dogs? Their hearing frequency, all right, is different. Their ears is shaped in a manner different from that of a human being. So they hear what you hear, and they hear beyond what you hear and below what you hear. So while somebody is still very far away, he makes a little sound. The dog hears it. He's not seeing spirit. A dog whistle is not audible to the hearing of the human being. So no matter how much you beg a human being, he won't hear the dog. That is, there are whistles that are made for dogs that security companies use. They whistle for their dog, you don't hear it. It's not be fight. It's the way their ears are made. Are you getting my point? In fact, there's something, if you see, when I'm editing our audio messages, all right, the program I use spreads the voice out in a wave pattern. There are times I see heavy waves, I don't hear anything. I know there's something there. The thing that's created a wave. You see the pattern. As the machine reads over that area, the speakers are absolutely silent to my ears. Put a doggy there. A doggy will get there. Whoo, whoo. He did there. What am I trying to say? It's the same thing with seeing. So Jesus said, you said you see when you are absolutely what? Blind. He said, what you should have done is to come to me to buy ointment. Eye salve, he said, to anoint your eyes so that you can see. That tells me something. The ability to see as God wants you to see costs you something. It costs you spiritual money, not physical cash. It might involve physical cash, but that's not the main thing. The main thing is what? Spiritual cash. I don't know whether I can get there today, but depending on the amount of time we have left, I'll begin to develop that. It's actually a gift from God. So I told that before, I used to argue with people. I tried to make them understand something. I realized later, I said, forget. They can't hear. Spiritual perception is interesting. God told me, the first assignment God gave Isaiah was what? He said, go and deaden the hearing of these people. Make them unable to perceive. He says, how do you do it? Say to them, hear, but don't understand. See, and don't perceive. That is not, I told you at the beginning, that there are things that occur naturally. They are supposed to help you see the things that are invisible. You get the point. But many people are unable to do it. That was why Jesus said that they say they see, yet they are blind. If you read Isaiah chapter 6, in verse 9, he said, go and tell these people, keep on listening, but do not perceive. Keep on looking, but do not understand. He said, go and tell them. You say this to them. He said, as a result, verse 10, you will render the hearts of these people insensitive, their ears dull, and their eyes dim. Now notice this. He said, otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their eyes, ears, understand with their hearts, and return and be healed. Are you getting my point? That is, no matter the situation that somebody is in, if he's able to see the things of God, then he's able to return and be healed. Now, that is, the ability to see is not just, is not within somebody. I was saying that I used to argue with people. You want to help? Nah, I don't bother. If you say, in fact, this country is dead, if you don't being taught to you according to your faith. Do you follow my point? If you are somebody that's subject to my instruction, then I will teach you. If you are not, I don't argue with you. It's my philosophy. My policy in life. I've had a friend come to my house once. He wanted to travel abroad. Now listen to me, I have nothing against it. As God is my witness. It is why that's my problem. Because you see, I am a Christian. I have faith. I believe in God. So I must do things according to my faith. I cannot, because of anyhow fear of tomorrow. And I'm not a tail. I'm what? A head. You know what happens to tails? The dog wags them up and down. Circumstances of life push them up and down. Running to and fro like Satan. That's a tail. He said, I'm the head and not the tail. I won't be running up and down like that. I take conscious decisions according to my faith and my understanding in God. Do you get my point? And the young man is there standing. He said, you know, when you get to this country, you can plan for your children. As he's saying it, I'm saying, you are very foolish. Somebody told you can plan for your children by virtue of the things that occur physically. You are going to a country that has just legalized homosexual marriages and you never heard about the judgment of God. You want to plan for your children? You think they will survive judgment for the next 40 years? You must be dreaming. You are moving to countries that have absolutely, virtually every native there rejects the knowledge of God and says that every ungodly practice is righteous. And you think in 40 years' time your children will be comfortable there. It shows really you don't believe anything. Do you get what I'm saying? If you're talking about, I want to go and eat and be full, I want to chop cheap hamburger, I can understand that one. So my friend that was telling me, explaining to me, I just didn't see anything. My wife used to be angry with me. Why don't you tell the truth to people? I said, my sister, it's hard. It is hard. I don't know how to explain it. Where will I start from? Do you get my point?
If it is somebody that takes time out to come and listen to me like you're sitting down here, then I know at least you believe I can help you with the knowledge of God. Then we'll start. That's why I don't argue with people. It's what God has enabled you to see. That is how you respond to life. Are you getting my point? But what do I see? I see people making giant leaps. I see people making giant leaps of progress in life. And they are not hindered by the circumstances you are talking about. So they help me create visions for my life. Are you getting what I'm saying? And then I'm able to decode the things that are much better. You know, let me tell you, this one is not a matter of being a preacher. This is a matter of fact about life. Nigeria today is far better than it was 15 years ago. I am not talking about preacher talking sweet. If you were alive and well in the an adult in the days of SAP, you won't open your mouth and tell me Nigeria is worse than it was. Listen, NEPA has been bad forever in Nigeria. As far as back as I can remember. In my home, where I lived and grew up, pipe-borne water stopped running that I can remember at least 17 years ago. It's not today. We've adapted. Tanker, periodically, drops water. It's not today. You have to tell me that there's no water, there's no light, no be today. But it's only today that every household buys generators. I hope you know that. When my friend, a registrar, bought a generator, we were all saying that guy is the richest resident in Nigeria. He bought a generator. Now we buy three every breakfast. Like, this generator is bad. Dump it. Go and buy me another one. Who dash monkey banana that the resident will say that he wants to save money to buy? Now, house officers buy cars. You know, those confused little boys, they'll say, hey, yes, let me just buy a car now. Yes, if your house officer, if your father doesn't dash you a car, don't buy one. You don't need it. Are you getting my point? If your father dashes you one, good. They have a saying in my place that the first money you give a child, he used to buy a car. You understand? That is traditional snack. You understand? If it is now, we'll say, no, you give a child money. Say, buy anything you like. Even if he's a millionaire, he walks straight to the supermarket. I stream one like this. Like my son was reminding me, Daddy, Mommy bought me chocolate yesterday. Second chocolate. So if you gave him money, go and buy anything you want. What is he going to do? What am I going to say? First year of life, you don't need to buy chocolate. Do you get what I'm saying? Grow up and do certain more responsible issues. Now, what am I going to say? Those days, nobody did it. The only thing we thought about buying as house officers was, one day we'll go buy television. I'm not joking, though. The first time they gave us money, finally we can change these shoes and wear real shoes. I'm serious. Those are the kind of things. People will not tell me that. No, the country is worse now than it was then. I say, you obviously were not born that time. You were not born. Or you were born, now you have cut a blood covenant with poor people. You know what I'm trying to say? That you'll be complaining about the nation every day. You know, Nigeria was better 5 years ago. It is all a lie. It's in your imagination. Even GSM was twice the cost you are paying now 5 years ago. Do you get what I'm going to say here? Let us face it, oh, God is blessing us. Let us not be ungrateful people that are so blind we can't see God's blessings. Are you getting what I'm going to say here? I'm telling you that what you see, Isaiah said it, people's hearts can be so deadened, they will see, but they don't perceive. But now, all these things I'm trying to explain, I want to bring it to a head. I mean, the point I want to bring out today is this. I'm trying to establish something here, that if God doesn't help you to see, you can never see. I hope you have understood that. It was God that drew Abraham out and said, look. God pointed his eyes somewhere. If God had said, go out and go and have vision, the man may have had vision of counting grass. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? The man may have had vision of counting the number of days he had been here. But God said, look up to the sky. Count the stars. Pick sand in your hands. Drop it. Can you number them? Are you getting my point? It's God that directs you on what to see. That's what I want to understand. That is why he said that anoint your eyes. Buy it first. That's what I want to understand. He said, that is when you will be able to see. At what cost do you buy these things? Now, two things I'm going to talk about. Number one, most importantly, open to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Let me make that point and I begin to close with it. In fact, I'm closing already. Ephesians chapter 1. Well, let me read from verse. For this reason, I too, having heard of your faith, which in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, I do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Please notice verse 18. He said, I pray that the eyes of your heart or the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened so that you will know. In other words, so that you will what? See. Because he's talking about what? Eyes. Now, Kenneth Hagin taught us something then. Still in a lot of his books. That's why I read it. He said one of the things that helped him begin to understand scriptures was that he prayed this prayer for himself. Ephesians chapter 1 prayer. There's another one in chapter 3. Another one, I think, in Colossians. But Ephesians chapter 1, most importantly, that he said, put your own, what do you call it, name. He said that, Lord, I'm praying that the eyes of my understanding may be enlightened. He taught us to pray those prayers. That was how he prayed, and then he began to understand the scriptures. Do you understand what I'm saying? But there's something I want you to understand. Before, now, there's what I call the principle of second hearing. These are the people that can hear the word of God. These are the people that can hear it and understand. These are the people that their eyes can open and they see the things that God is actually doing in life. Because you see, this is the problem. God is doing things, you don't recognize it, therefore you miss it. I talked about the time of your visitation. God can come to your house and say, this is the time of visitation, but you don't recognize it, so you miss it. Are you getting what I'm going to say here? There are times God brings blessings to people. God said, this is my blessing, but they can't see it, so they miss it. What is it that makes people see? That's the point I'm making. Now, who are the people that can receive this thing from the hand of God, the ability to see? Number one, there are those, you know, because if you read from, let me just quickly, we'll develop this one next time. You read from Romans chapter 1, where it says that by it says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, I did something, what I call releasing the power in the word, about 2 or 3 years ago, where we talked about the principle of the second hearing, that is to hear and hear. It's an expression in Hebrew. He said, if you shall diligently hearken, he said, actually, Derek Prince said, literally in the Hebrew, he said, if you shall listen, listening. Do you understand my point? The literal Hebrew is, if you shall listen, listening. That's what's interpreted in English as, if you shall diligently hearken. That is, he said, once he has spoken, twice I have heard it. That's what he was saying when he said that faith comes by hearing and hearing. It's not hearing and hearing and hearing. It's two. Hearing and what? Hearing. There's a principle there. What does it mean to hear and hear? It is to hear, to learn, to be subject to direct your life by, not to hear, to argue about. Do you follow what I'm trying to say here? Listen, this is how it means to hear and hear. They came to Mary. He said, you have a child. He said, is it possible? He said, that's what God said. You know what next thing Mary said? He said, let it be to me according to your words. That is hearing and hearing. Do you get the point I'm making? When it spoke to Manoah, he said, the wife said, the angel said, a man of God came and said, I'm going to be a child. Instantly he said that, let him come again that we may know how we should take care of this child when he has been born. Do you get the point? That is instantly he accepted the word that he has been given. There was a man that refused to do that second hearing. That is the one that said that even if God were to open the windows of heaven, can these things be? Do you get what I'm trying to say? Now, there is a heart attitude that comes to God first, which I want to learn what you have to say. Are you getting my point? Listen, that is a person that God sells himself to. It's not free. It's Jesus that said it right there. You buy it and then anoint your eyes. With what? Let me read this and then we're out of here. I've tried to establish the fact that it's in prayer that you buy it. It's by praying to God, but there is something you do first before God allows you to get it. Quickly. Philippians chapter 3. It's something we have read so many times. I will begin to develop this as we close. Paul said, we are the true circumcision who worship God in the spirit and have no confidence in the flesh. He said, we glory in Christ Jesus. Now he said in verse 7, he said, whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things, that is all these things to be lost, in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may what? Gain Christ. He said, I may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. He said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Let me just stop there. What was Paul trying to say? He said that before I can come to know Christ Jesus as I'm supposed to know him, the first thing I do is to count my natural advantages as disadvantages. Do you get the point I'm trying to make here? What I'm saying, is it clear? That is, there is a, look, we did a message some time ago. I called it the cost of salvation. I said, salvation is not free. Salvation is what? It's not free. He said, it is free, that Jesus paid for it. That yeah, we know it's not free. Jesus paid, and after that, it became free. Even after that, it is still not free. Jesus paid, right? But before you can partake of what Jesus paid for, you have to pay something. It's just that it's not money. Do you get my point? What was Paul trying to say? He said, all the things I gained, I counted them as what? As loss. That was the cost of his salvation. He said, that I might know him. What am I trying to say? You want to be able to see, you have to first go to God in prayer. No, that's where it starts. That's how it starts. Dear God, I have been too wise in my eyes. I have leaned on my own understanding. Are you getting my point? He said, do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. What am I trying to say? Every time you have thought you were wise, that's what you just go and say, that God, please, I thought I had sense. I don't have. It's a very simple thing. That is, the advantages I thought I had, now I realize they are not advantages. I said something some time ago. I've forgotten. Was it here I said it? I said, there are people that maybe God has opened a door for you to go to Harvard and go and get an MBA. Now, it is not for everybody. You know, I said that thing. Which day did I say it? Last week here, yes. As an example. Because you want your eyes to see. Don't go. Now, I said, please, Soyson, you have to be very careful. I'm not talking to everybody. I said, Pastor Mark, what do you mean? Please, I am not. But if I was talking to you, you will know. Let me tell you this simply. Everybody has one thing that God is making demand on, that you have held onto as the source of your prosperity. God said, until you take your hands off it, I can't open your eyes. Do you know there are people who study to get a first class so that they might work in Mobile? God said, the one place I don't want you to work is Mobile. You can take a job anywhere else, but for 5 years you labored, you put your hope in the first class as a God of prosperity. Let me show you that it is not. Do you get my point? The man will say, what do you want me to do? He said, your professor has been begging you since to come and join the staff of the university. Go and start. You disable me now, you don't hear me again. Do you get what I'm saying? 5 years after, the man will be, he's earning a very fast salary, but he's the chief complainer. How much is this money, sir? They said they are paying the money that cannot even buy you a brand new Lamborghini. You see, that's where his problem begins. 10 years later, he's a poor man because he disobeyed God 10 years ago. If he had taken that job, all right, from there, God will have made him. You know, that is those guys that he would have been working with in that Mobile, they would have been begging him and calling him in the office. Oh, God, we need you. As a practical example, the man becomes a consultant to all the oil companies in Nigeria. And they are all paying tithes and offering to his basket. And he's still a university professor. No, it's true. It's true. I'm telling you. Listen, this is a fact. And I'm going to leave this to you as a prayer point. When you get home today, in fact, right now we are going to begin to pray. All right? 5 minutes at least. What you will pray is very simple. God, it's very simple. We'll start from Ephesians chapter 1. I pray that you will give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that my eyes of understanding may be enlightened. Then you say, God, what is that idol that I have that's preventing me from sin? Because I've noticed something here. I said I was going to talk about the spirit of Christ, but I didn't get there. Because actually what God does for his children is to put a spirit of faith in them, that naturally, their natural tendency is to believe. But what Satan does is to sell them an idol. As long as they are holding that idol, they can't see. Listen, each man has to pray, God, what is my idol? There are people that their idols have been their degrees. That is, the degree they labored for, that's their idol. Other people, it's one connection they've had. Others, is the fact that my father told me that I was born in London and we lived the first 5 years there. All this one they are saying, I'm just waiting to settle down and go and get my black passport. After that, I begin to prosper. God said, okay. The day you take that passport, I will write you off. Your friend or your brother might take it and he'll begin to prosper. Do you get my point? Because physical things are not the issue, all right? It's the spiritual foundation behind them. There are different things that people need to count as loss that they might know him. Listen, have I made any sense today? I hope you have learned something today. It's important. It's what you can see. Let me just end with this. Jesus didn't say, believe. No. He said, if you can believe. That's what he was saying. There is a process in believing. In fact, the last thing you would see, I didn't have time to get to that, was when they said, why couldn't we cast him out? He said, because of your unbelief. At the end, he said, this type doesn't go out but by prayer. But he just said it's because of your unbelief. So he wasn't talking about the demon not going out but by prayer. Because if that was the case, he would have said, because of your didn't pray. What was he saying? It's because of your unbelief. But to come to the point of believing, do you get my point? You have to pray. Do you understand what I'm going to say here? That's why he will say, I do nothing of myself. It is what I see the Father do. That is why he could have faith. Because it was what he was what? Seeing the Father do. That was what he was doing. Therefore, he will just tell you simply, Lazarus is sleeping. Let's go and raise him up. Are you serious about that?
Very, very, very serious.
I'm not the one yawning. Jesus Christ has yawned there. To tell you how relaxed and sure he is about what he said. He said, let's go and raise him up. Why? He said, it is what I see the Father do. That is in him, he was able to see. A point comes in your life, listen to this, listen very carefully, that every crazy imagination of your heart comes to pass. You don't get what I'm saying? That is, it just gets to a point. God just said, once you can conceive it, I have done it, not that I'm going to do it. There is a degree of work. You know, there was something that Oswald Chambers said about by Abraham once. Abraham prayed and said, God, if you find 50 righteous people, will you destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? God said, no, why should I do that? What about if 5 is lacking? You know, they would say, what if that 50 is deficient of 5? God said, 45? Why should I do that? He went down and got to 10. He said, dear Lord, please let me not be angry. Let my Lord not be angry that I'm taking too much now. I'm taking you for granted because you came to eat in my house. I don't feel like I asked for anything. What if it's just 10? Please, I hope you're not angry. 10. The Lord said, I will not destroy you for 10. Everybody says, why didn't he just ask for 5? You will look at the trend that God would not have refused if he said 5, right? Also, Chamber said, it's not so. He said, there is a restraining power of the Spirit that didn't allow him to go below 10 because that was where the divine, order will agree up to. That inside him, the ability to go below 10 was not there. That's because this man had walked with God. The spirit of faith had rubbed off on him. Let me tell you, I told you that this faith thing is a spirit. It rubs off on you as you sit down in the presence of the word of God. It rubs off on you. I said this on radio, I think sometime late last year or beginning of that last year. I said, it's not possible to hear me talk on radio every Monday night and you will not have faith. Except you have not been tuning in. Your body was there, your spirit wasn't there. You know why? Because I am in ministry. I told a minister, somebody that serves something. What God taught me to serve is the spirit of faith. Do you get my point? So this man has been walking and the thing has been rubbing off on him. I'm going to explain something here. As you walk with God and the spirit of faith rubs off on you, it gets to a time in your chosen area in life, you will sit down and begin to imagine something. The moment you begin to imagine, even you know it is done. I don't know what I get my point. You will not get up and begin to talk. Why is he talking like that? It's what you have seen. Oh my God. Then you just sit down. Judicial system, power sector, anything. You just think, we could do this, and this will happen. The moment you finish dreaming it, you know it's going to happen. It might take a year, it might take two.
But you start doing things to... Faith, the works of faith is not to walk so you can show yourself you have faith. No. It's when you have faith. When you are sure this thing is... You start walking toward what is going to happen. Do you know why you... Maybe you want to go to Lagos. You will drive your car, put it on the road. You know Lagos is there. You're not trying to drive. So believing that if you drive for 7 hours, God can create Lagos. You set out on the road to Lagos because you know that is the direction to Lagos. In the same manner, as a child of God, when God has opened your eyes and you have seen, you start walking towards what you know is there. A destination that God has created and you have found out. You're just driving there. You're not hoping that if we pray hard enough, if we believe, we confess, wake up in the morning, pastor said we should confess. Father, forgive me. No. Those ones are the things you have not yet seen.